Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for the day. And thank you for these who come back tonight and fought the weather. And the Lord, it rained about all afternoon, but we're grateful to be in a place where we're dry and we can worship you. And one of these days, before long, in our time, or if we go on one by one through the exit of death to be with you, there's going to come a time God's going to come and get the church. A wonderful thing could happen tonight, and us be in the house of God worshiping you. We'd already begin worshiping as we could leave this place and go up in the air worshiping you as we meet the Lord in the air. Until that day comes, help us be what we need to be, where we need to be, at the time we need to be there for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, if you will, if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 14. This is the second part of last Sunday night's message, as we finish up on what is an idol worship. And I want to go back and read 1 John. You just hold place one verse for the New Testament where we read last week, just one verse in 1 John, and down about chapter 5, and where we see verse 20, he said, "And we know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even as his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols." And he says, amen. Now, he said that in a world that's full of idols. And by the way, we still have a world that's full of idols. Sometimes people say, well, why do we talk about idols? That was in the Old Testament times. You'll find out that Israel certainly, so if people know better than that in our day, we're more enlightened. You couldn't have anybody any more enlightened about God than Israel was in their starting point when God called them out and established them as a nation. They were right with God to start with, even though they had some problems along the way, even in the wilderness. But God gave them the law, gave them all the essentials that's needed for them to have a right relationship with him. And yet, with that opportunity to know that God would work through them in the tabernacle and all that's set up there, that they could have a relationship with him, even though there were some things wrong in Israel, that the whole nation turned away from God within a period of time, and we'll see that here tonight. So as we talk about, what about idols? Well, you know, it's interesting. I read a story, and I assume this may be a true story, even though I've heard something like this before. But there's a young lady, or a certain lady, who was a business lady, and she traveled a lot for flying. And she said that she had a fear of flying, and since she was a Christian, she took the Bible with her, and she said a lot of times when she'd get in her seat and they'd get off the ground or start off the ground, she'd just get her Bible out and start reading, and she found comfort in reading her Bible. And so as she got on the plane this particular day and she started to take off and got up into the air, there was a person that sat inside her as a man, and he was looking at her, and he saw her have her Bible open up and kind of smirked a smile and kept looking at his magazine, whatever he's looking at. And he finally turned to her after they got in the air and he said, "You don't really believe all that stuff that's in that Bible, do you?" And she said, "Well, I certainly do. I'm a born-again Christian. And I believe without this Bible, I could know anything about God. And I believe what God gives me in this Bible is true." He said, "Well, I'd like to ask you," and these people always ask things like this. He said, "First of all, I'd like to ask you about in the Bible who were swallowed by a whale. You don't really believe that, do you?" She said, "Well, if the Bible says it, I believe it, and it does. His name was Jonah, by the way, if you want to know what his name was, that he was swallowed by that whale." And he said, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all of that time inside that whale?" And she said, "Well, I don't really know. It doesn't tell us, but the thing about it is he did survive. The whale finally vomited up on the seashore and said, 'I don't really know how he survived, but I tell you, when I get to heaven one of these days, that's one thing I want to ask the Lord about.'" And he kind of snickered a little snicker, and he said, "Well, what if he's not in heaven?" And she said, "Well, if not, you can ask him." I like that, because that's true. She didn't want to go no further, and of course, he didn't say anything else after that. But at the same time, we're glad to know what God has said is true. Now, God wants and has a right of our time and our attention in this life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we can live our life any way we want to live and end up going just what God said at the end of this life, or we can live our life according to what God says and in turn live in the wonderful eternity with him. And God has left us not ignorant of this thing in his word. And when we talk about an idol is, it's described as any person or object or activity that you give a higher priority to in your life than a relationship with God. And God started off with Israel in Exodus 20, verse 4, when the first part of that verse said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in water underneath the earth." And so he set forth the image, and the image is where we get the word imagination from. And then we see also in Ezekiel, as we read last week, and that's where we're going to now, that God talked about Israel in their hearts where this image started. It didn't just all of a sudden they make something, but in their heart they had this image of an idol, and in turn it came out in their mind, and they made something in turn they could look at, and they didn't have to do that because you could have, that's one of the reasons in America, we don't have to have something to look at. We can have an image in our heart, anything that separates us from God. And we have to believe the Bible, not believe the Bible. And I choose to believe the Bible. Idolatry is building your life on anyone or anything other than God or Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew 6:24. And mammon means the riches as an object of worship in this life. And we started off with four things and gave the first two and just mentioned them and get into the last two tonight for just a minute. First of all, idol worship causes presumption. That is, there's a sin without knowledge. There's people claiming things that God will do something he never said he would do, but they say that because they have somewhere they took out of context, or they have something they can say to make a person believe they have a little more knowledge about God than anyone else, and they presume upon him like that. As a matter of fact, presumption is taking something for granted, declaring it to be true when it's not true. Just because somebody said something is true is not necessarily true. A lot of people take the Bible out of context and make statements that are not true. And on the other hand, they convince some people they are true. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe you ought to spend some time with God in prayer if you're saved by the Holy Spirit, that God would enlighten us to see that truth ourselves. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves before God one day, and I believe God honors that if we're willing to do just that. And so an idol worship causes presumption. Then number two, we saw that idol worship causes estrangement from God. Estrangement simply means to remove, to keep apart, to turn, to make hostile, or be indifferent to or him. Estrangement also leads to spiritual deafness. And that leads into the third of where we ended up last week. Idol worship leads to spiritual deafness about God. So we find, first of all, that idol worship causes presumption towards God, and then idol worship causes estrangement from God, and then when you talk about deafness, idol worship leads to spiritual deafness about God. So these phrases gives us an analysis of what it means to be idol worshiping idols and not worshiping idols. I mean, to idol worship leads to spiritual deafness about God. In Isaiah chapter 59, turn there with me just a minute. We'll come back to Jeremiah. We'll be looking at verses there. In chapter 59, in verse 2, God set forth, he said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues hath muttered pervertness." You couldn't get Israel to believe that at times because they had rulers telling them they were following them, we were following God, and therefore a person who would come along and try to change what was going on was not of God, they said. But it proved many times that it was of God. And he said that none calleth thee for justice nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And what God is saying, for salvation implies a close relationship between the soul and God. It has to be with a spiritual relationship. You remember in John chapter 4, verse 24, when Jesus said, "God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, Satan can make the voice of sin seem like the voice of God. Do you not believe that? Did you know that if the vacancy in our heart and we don't have some standard, Satan can make us believe a lie to be the truth by quoting something that sounds religious or even quoting scripture out of context to get a person to fall rather than serve the Lord? And so here we know that God being a spirit, we have his worship in spirit and truth. But only when there is a lack. When you talk about sin can make the voice sin, Satan can make a voice sin to seem like the voice of God, but it's only when there's a lack in biblical knowledge of God. You remember what Hosea said in chapter 4 and verse 6? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." His people. God's people who God had given the word to. God's people who he gave prophets to. God's people who set up the system where even if they sin, they sin, knowing they couldn't keep the law, they could give a sacrifice and their sin be forgiven. God's people who had a relationship with Israel and called them by name and put them in a city that he called their name as far as the capital was, Jerusalem, descendants of Abraham. So I'm saying to you that you find that what's happening today, the same thing is happening if we're not careful. God's people become ignorant of God's word. They do not understand what God is saying. His word is destroyed before them for the lack, or is destroyed, they have a lack of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it an amazing thing that we have the ability to learn and we'll believe everything? We go to school and have people teach us things. We go to school and math and history and science and all these things, and many things have been trying to be changed today. Isn't it amazing? We go and we believe what we read because we have the books that are there, and on the other hand, not believe God? Because God has a book too. The only difference is you can't know what those books say in the history of the world or in everyday life unless you read them. And you can't know what this book says unless you're born again first and then read it. Are you with me on the same page? So as we look at that, you see that it's very easy to have an idol if you're not careful in life and not even realize it, because Satan is a mastermind of deception. And so it seems that when the sin of an idol is turned up in our lives and we don't see it, if the idol has been turned up in our lives that separates us from God, then you can mark it down, ladies and gentlemen, the life of the Holy Spirit has been turned down. If the Holy Spirit, in using God's word, is turning our life up as a Christian to know God's will for our life, then the idol has been deleted and eventually will be out completely. But if we don't allow God to fill the vacancy in our heart, and you find that Satan will find ways to turn up his method that word will separate us from God, even as a child of God, if we're not careful. Not in the sense of our salvation if we're saved, but in the sense of service. And God over and over fills this book about what we should be doing and should not be doing. So when one elects the true God, they began to inquire for oracles from false religion or false teaching. We are religious creatures by nature. And when we're not filling our hearts with that which has to do with God, Satan is filling it. And you heard me say the other night that you don't have to do anything to learn this, to cater this nation. Just get up and go. Just get up and do. Just get up and ride. Just get up and read. Just get up and go to work. Every way you turn, Satan is a mastermind of capitalizing on how to deceive us. And the only thing that can counteract that is God in his word. You know, God could come to us personally, and maybe does sometimes, which I believe we have guardian angels and so forth, and takes care of us when we don't even know anything about it. But God wants us to believe him. And you know where we believe him? Here. It's not because I say it's the word of God. It's the word of God because God says it's the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if I turn it around and say something it doesn't say, I'm going to have to give an account. God told the priests of Israel and the prophets of Israel in their day when we looked in Ezekiel last week. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to punish you as a prophet to these people just like I punished them. You can't prophesy in my name and cause these people to go away from me and in turn think you're not going to be punished. He said over and over in this chapter that he would take them and punish them. If you don't believe me, you look down. He said, I will set my face against that man in verse 8 of chapter 14, make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off in the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet and will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people. They shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Why? And I wrote out here by when I this reading that. Why would God say that to Israel? Verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord. And if you notice again in the latter part of verse 8, he said, I'll set my face against you. Why? Then ye shall know that I am the Lord. He said, my people will know that I'm the Lord when I do this. The Holy Spirit in us not only convicts us of sin, but also shows us the joy to serve the living God in the age of grace. And so I see that one who neglects the true God, they began to inquire for oracles from false religious teachers. People know there's something about religion that satisfies, which is a satanic principle and offer to people, other than what God is offering through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Note, the prophet is to be punished equally with the rest of the people because of sin. His guilt and his punishment equal to their guilt, and punishment according to verse 9 through 10, Ezekiel 14. So not only we see the idol worship causes presumption towards God, not only does it cause estrangement from God, not only does the idol worship lead to spiritual deafness about God, but the last thing that God sets in this word, that idol worship is sin, and therefore sin will be punished. There is a consequence for sin, there's a punishment for sin, and idol worship is sin, and that's the reason God talks about what He's going to do. If you look in verse 4 with me, notice, He said, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart. Isn't it amazing? He didn't just say he set it up in his house or set it up in his place of work or wherever. He's setting it. Why? Because it has to be here before it's materialized so you can see it on the outside. And he said, hey, there's people, that's the reason we have to beware in the age of grace. And we don't have things in our home that we bow down to. But are there things in our life that separates us from that which God put a call on our life about? And he goes on, and putteth the stumbling block in his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, he said, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, which means his sin. Idols is the product of sin. So he said, I will come, and I will do according to the multitude of his idols, or to the multitude of his sins. So God, listen to me, doesn't act by proxy. God has servants and agents to work through. And he works it out, and he calls us in the age of grace ambassadors of Christ. Idols calls people to pretend. Such a term is an actor's term to wear and speak under a mask. They're playing a part. They're disguising themselves as something for God. And in turn, they're there for nothing else. But and sooner or later, you see those people. Finally, God reveals them. I was listening to a comedian not just a few years ago. I think he's died now. But he said, I started out, I thought I was a born-again Christian. And then he said, I became a comedian, and I thought I could do that. And I remember hearing him talk about, someone asked him about his born-again Christian. He said, I thought I was a born-again Christian, but there ain't one thing to that. I found out there wasn't one thing to that. You know why? He wasn't really born again. It's like somebody said that, you know, been born physically and never was born physically. You can't find one thing out about physical life unless you're born physically. And God has set forth, you can't find out anything about spiritual life unless you're born spiritually. And he said then, and he was using God's name in vain and everything else, and I just turned him off. I wanted to hear what he said to the person in interviewing, but he said, no, there's nothing to it whatsoever. He said, I preach. I mean, he told a number of years he preached, and now he wasn't preaching at all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's dangerous. Did you know that there's some people who can give account to God more than others? It's one thing for a person never hear the word because God knew what would happen when they stand before God. It's another person who did hear and made a false confession and did things to mock God for periods of time and end up denying him before they died. It's sad, but that's where we're at. God has servants and agents to work through. And so I just calls people to pretend. And this term, we get our word hypocrite from this word. Of an idol. We get our word hypocrite. In James 1, 22 and 25, James said we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. We hear that a lot. Does it register with us though? It's one thing, I hear the word all the time. But are we letting God speak to our heart and become the doer of that word somewhere in our life as we go through each day in this side of eternity? Note, God answers every person to his or her iniquity, and not according to his pretending ways. In Ezekiel 4:4, God answers according to his idol or according to his sin. So that means everybody's going to be measured different, isn't it? That's the reason we have the great white throne judgment. People are going to the lake of fire, going in there to degrees based on how they rebelled or surrendered in this particular life. And so we see he's telling us here this time, God answers, Ezekiel 14, a lot of part of that, he answers according to his sin, that person's sin, or to his idols. If a repentance is not done, God will give them up to their own wicked hearts. Now, how do I know that? I have New Testament for that. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Go read that and see what God gives up to people who absolutely turns against him. He said, I'll just give you up to your own heart and you go your own way, but you will stand before me one day. Do you not believe that? Brother, if you don't, boy, I'll tell you, we need to spend some time with you and show you scripture that whereas it is, God is saying, yeah, hey, you may just play along now and think it's all there, but one day, humanity is going to stand before me. The born-again child of God is going to stand at the bema seat of Christ. The unsaved is going to stand at the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. You will stand before me. I will either reward and bless, or I will sentence according to degrees into the lake of fire, as you see in Revelation chapter, about chapter 20, 21, somewhere on 20. I think, well, let's see. Let me give it to you. I think it's in chapter 20. Yeah, chapter 20. And down in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I see again, if repentance is not done, God will give them up. Romans chapter 1, read that. And he'll send Israel to the pagan, God will send Israel to the pagan God when they have chosen false gods for themselves, even though God had blessed them, and will bring them back in prophecy, which we've seen in our day. Turn the book of Judges with me just a moment. Let me read a few verses to you that he says about what he's going to do. In Judges, if you turn with me in Judges chapter 10, I want to just read a few verses real fast if I can. If you go down in verse 6, you see he talks about the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and he served Baal and Ashtaroth, and he laid all these false gods. I mean, there's a number of them there. Israel? No, he's not talking about the world here. He's talking about Israel. I mean, after all this time that God has been dealing with Israel, set up a wonderful system, even if they sin, they could have a sacrifice for sin and be forgiven for atonement, and yet they're serving other gods in the land. And notice, I don't read all this save for time, but verse 7, he said, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel and sold them into the hands of the Philistines and to the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years all the children of Israel were that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is Gilead. And he went on down, look in verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. They recognize the fact that this came to them because they abandoned God. We not served God, but we served the false god of Balaam. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says, God said, ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel, when God spoke, you see, sometimes it takes the sternness of God's word to prick our heart, to get our attention to listen. And when God said, you go, hey, he said, you go and worship your God. You've chosen this. And the children of Israel, verse 15, said unto the Lord, we've sinned. Do thou us whatsoever seemeth. Boy, this is a repentant heart. They didn't just say, Lord, we've sinned, forgive us. They came and said, Lord, we've sinned. You do to us what you seem wise to do. What's what they say? This is a repentant heart. And so, he said, we have sinned, do thou as whatsoever seemed good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee this day. Isn't that amazing? Folks, can you see the repentant heart of Israel? Do what you will to us, Lord, but give us this day to see we mean. Whatever you want to do, do it because of the sin. But deliver us, Lord. Please forgive us. Boy, I'll tell you, it does come to God's heart. And notice he said, and they put away the strange God from among them and served the Lord, and his soul watched. God's soul would grieve for the misery of Israel. Isn't that amazing? I mean, here they were, turned against God, abandoned God, forsaken God, went to the gods, many of the gods in the land, and turned down the true and living God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. They had the historical records. They had all the systems set up to have a right relationship with God. Even when they sinned, sin could be atoned for. And yet, when it comes to these idols, they kept getting worse and worse and worse. And they were going through the ritual of religion rather than the method in turn that God had set up. And he said this, when they did, he saw the repentance of their heart. The Bible says, and this is the love of God. He said he served the Lord. He said, and they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul grieved for the misery of Israel. That is, there's something about the life, eternal life, is in God. Grieved for, isn't that amazing, the misery of Israel. Isn't that an amazing thing that God loves us? God loves us so much. And yet, when a child of God rebels against God and his church and family, he still loves them. And that's the reason the Bible teaches us that Paul said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's grieved when things are not where they ought to be in one's life. And so he gives us this information at this time. This should concern not only the house of Israel, but the strangers in the land. And it should concern religious people today when it comes to idols. We're not worshiping through the political system, but worship God as a spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And in turn, he speaks to us and has the system of the church as the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved also. And so, for anyone to join to idols of the heart is to separate themselves from God. And God will make them an example of such as Israel when the time comes. There's not been a nation yet that rebelled against God sooner or later than fall. And ladies and gentlemen, mark it down. If the Lord don't come back for the church and get it out of here, this nation's going to fall one day if it keeps going away from God. I don't know what's happening now, but it's something about our president trying to whether he's saved, I don't know. But sometimes God uses people with a heart to turn around to start doing things rather than destroying the things of God. I mean, when there's prayer. I was looking at a news article the other day that came from a religious organization, said that's the first time they'd ever seen a president have prayer in a cabinet in the sense the way he did. And the, I forget who it was praying, the Afro-American that run for president and run for Canada and didn't make it. What was his name?
Ben Carson.
He said, Ben, he wants you to pray. And they stopped right there. And he, by the way, they let the cameras of the newsman. It wasn't only in the big news, but it was shown otherwise that he prayed and asked God to bless the people to make right decisions for the glory of God. He prayed a prayer, ladies and gentlemen, beat anything I've ever seen. And not a person said a thing. They didn't even show it on the regular networks. I'm telling you, sometimes, now I remember hearing a man of God say many years ago, sometimes you might have someone who looks through eyes of trying to be a blessing, don't know God, but sometimes God can maneuver people who are not saved to do things for him they don't even know they're doing. Or maybe if they do, maybe they are saved. I don't know about our present salvation because he's got a foul mouth. But I know one thing, he's done more for Christianity in our nation than had been done for a number of years. That's all there is to it. And it amazes me. And what gets me, he's going places they never would go. He's speaking at conference. Even the ladies' group the other day that's there. So what I'm saying to you, sometimes God lets people rise up and fall what they are and gives us leader. But after a while, he did with Israel that way. But there came a time he said, all right, I'll give you who you want. This is what they're going to do for you. You read the scriptures and you find, if you want a king, I'll give you a king. But if you want me in place, then you need who I want to put there, not who you put there. And therefore, he said, I'll give you, and he did. He gave him Saul, and later he gave him David. Saul was not the one. David was the one after God's own heart. And you have to read that story another time for this. But I'm saying to you, there's a consequence of sin and to join idols. And God will make an example of such in Israel. And by this he said, and ye shall, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 8, he said, ye shall know that I am the Lord. God's intention is to do what's necessary to show that he is God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to know he's going to do that in the end one of these days. Do you know that? He's going to do it in the end. Everything God said, even the criminal of this world planet, he's going to remake it one day, just like he said he would, as Peter talked about it being going back to the regular evidence as it's burnt. So watch out for what they call so-called functional saviors. That is, we need redemption. We talked about Wednesday, amazing how scripture just ties together. We need redemption. We need substitution before we need example. And functional saviors sometimes are those who give examples in turn to catch people. Most time example would be what cater to the person in that vicinity wants, where God wants the soul first of all so they know what the example is like. So what do you make of the most of your time? What do you make of? What did I do? My time, my energy, my money, my effort, my long hours. What do you think about during these items? What about when you cannot sleep? What about when you find yourself, uneasy? Who do you seek approval from? I mean, watch idols. Your idols is your person, object, or activity that gives you a higher priority in life than a relationship with God Almighty. God desires our time. He desires our talents and rehearse our talents, empower our talents. He desires our attention at all times. Romans 12:1, we quote it many times. I beseech you therefore to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's our bodies. And only a saved person can do that. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to not do what Paul says, who's the authority of God, as God has called him, we are to do. If we don't do what God says we're to do, it is to allow Satan to take our hearts, take our minds, and lives away from the things of God. An image starts from the heart. An image formed in one's mind, in one's heart, or life as God is an imposter. If it's not based on biblical and based on what God says about himself. When Satan does it, it'd be an imposter. Satan gives fake, false, generic gods. I've seen an article recently that's talking about they're seeing great miracles taught or done in African countries. And I thank God if there are that. But when you hear a person say, but we go there with the gospel, but we also understand that miracles are a big thing. People can see miracles. And when miracles are done, then that helps people receive Christ. And we have hundreds of thousands of people, even millions of people, this person said, who trust Christ in those countries because of miracles. Where's the Word of God at? Where is the gospel at? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid if we're not careful. Listen, there can't be examples unless there's a substitution. There can't be examples unless there is a redemption. There can't be examples unless there's a buying back. And the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that. And they talk about that, but they talk about that more so for healing diseases than for saving souls. I don't know. I know this, that without Jesus Christ, there is no power from God in the age of grace for salvation except through him. And I know this, God seeks to save that which is lost in the age of grace before anything else. And then he gives us examples of the Word of God, what to do to get what God says is ours and what to do as far as life is concerned this side of eternity. And it's a wonderful thing when you begin to walk with him. And so here we find that if an image formed in men's man and heart and life leaves God out, then it's a fake. It's a generic God. And it will affect not God's love for us. And this is what amazes me. And I thought about this. Lord, when God told Israel what he was going to do, it didn't affect his love for them. Did you know when God gives us warning, it doesn't affect his love for us, but it will affect our love for God if we don't listen. See, when you love someone, you do more moving towards that someone. If you don't love someone, you'll move away from that someone. And love is the central factor in the child of God. We see how much God loves us. He knows that. But whatever we do doesn't affect his love for us. But what we do affects our love to him, in turn responding to that. And so sin will not affect God's love, but it is ours. So to sum up the definition of idolatry tonight is to build one's life on anyone or anything that's an imposter and not God and his son and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we do that how? Through the scriptures. Anyone who comes to you and I today to tell us about the God of this universe and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to use the scriptures. If someone would come to me today and say, preacher, well, you're out of your head, leave me alone. If someone come to me today and said, you know what, I've never seen God before in the scriptures, but I saw him last night, he took me somewhere and showed me something. It's not that he couldn't do that, but he tells us, if God would do that, then we won't need the scriptures. Why would he give us the scriptures if he's going to disobey his own scriptures and give them to us in ways other than this? There's a time he will manifest himself to us, but right now the scriptures are given for us for intelligence, for enlightenment, for works, for knowledge about him. He talks to us through words, and this Bible is his word for you and I. And so to sum this up is to build your life on anyone, anything, and not use the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, because this is our base. I'm glad not only he inspired the scripture, he preserved the scripture. We must have a record in the age of grace because God set a record 2,000 years ago through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't find anywhere else that He's ever added to it. In fact, the Bible says if anything's added to this book, there's a wrath coming for that. If anything's taken away from this book, that's what God puts in the back of one's mind as we study the Word of God. So as I look at this tonight, idol worship causes presumption towards God. Idol worship causes estrangement from God. Idol worship leads to a spiritual deafness about God. And idol worship is sinful. Therefore, there's a consequence for sin. God decreed that in verse 4 of 14. And let's read again, and I'll close. He said, therefore, speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart. Some people say, well, he's talking about Israel, not the church. But wait a minute. Aren't you glad to know what he said about Israel did happen? So what he says to the church will happen too. He's not going to say one place, and putteth the stumbling block in his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh to the multitude of his idols of his sin. I put all of his sin out, because that's what idols is. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Worship of their idols takes them away, and they didn't realize it. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, turn yourself from your idol, and turn away from your face, away your faces from all your abomination. For one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separates himself from me, and setteth up in his heart, idols up in his heart, that gets me there. Because these people say in America, well, we don't worship idols. You don't have to have one on your totem pole, on your car, or in your dashboard, or in your house. You can do it in your heart. Anything that separates the heart. And that's when he starts with Israel. It started in your heart before you ever saw it manifest outside. Put in the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. Notice he set up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling block of the iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, and I'll make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off, he says, from the midst of my people. Why? Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Stand to your feet. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this time we've set aside to study this one subject from a biblical aspect. Lord, I can't make anyone believe anything, but I can be the source that you can use for information, and I believe with all my heart, Lord, I don't have to make some wooden or stone or marble image and set in my house to worship. I don't have to put a picture up somewhere or another and worship it to have an idol. You let us know that it starts in our heart. And some people may have in the heart where no one can see. If I had one in my house, people could see it. Well, we can't see that in the heart, but you can. And you let us know that from the very source of our heart, one starts that by Satan being influencing to put something in the way between God and ourselves. And Satan fills that vacancy. So he does it gradually. He does it over a period of time. He does it silently. He does it in a secret type way. Let people pass us from time to time. And that may be from other religion. It amazes me today how many people today talk about religion other than Christianity. In fact, there's some people in our country who puts other religions above Christianity. That means they put them above God. Lord, help us not be ignorant about these things. And so we need your word. May we take it in heartily and ask you to help us see what we need to see. I may need something someone else needs, don't need. They may need something I don't need. But as we cover these subjects, Lord, help us find what we need and know you're the source to set it right. And bless our church, because we want your will more than anything else in this world. And we seek it by His Spirit, your Spirit, through the Word of God, who God has preserved for our day to hear the voice of God through the inner man until we get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.